We asked our book critic, Maureen Corrigan, for some holiday gift recommendations, and she came up with a list of books that have been resurrected, reprinted, or repackaged.
Here's a holiday literary fantasy. Say you had a great-great-grandparent who was a reader and a pack rat, and imagine that somewhere in the piles of print this obsessive ancestor saved, there was a copy of Beaton's Christmas Annual for the year 1886. You would have inherited quite a nice little present. This past summer, a copy of that cheap pulp magazine was auctioned for $156,000. That's because contained within the moldering contents of Beaton's is a short story called The Study in Scarlet by a then-unknown author, Arthur Conan Doyle. It was the first Sherlock Holmes tale, and it was rejected by a number of publishers before it landed in Beaton's grubby pages. The frustrated Doyle complained in a letter to his mother that, "Verily, literature is a difficult oyster to open." In 1997, a collection of about 1,000 of Doyle's letters, many of them to his mother, came to the British Library, and they've recently been published by the Penguin Press in a handsome illustrated volume called Arthur Conan Doyle, A Life in Letters. For any Sherlock Holmes addict on your holiday list, this book would be a delight. Conan Doyle's letters to his mother about Holmes credit her not only with plot inspiration, but also with extending the life of the great detective long after Conan Doyle wearied of him. As the letters also attest, Conan Doyle lived an interesting life apart from Holmes. He traveled the world, beginning in medical school when he took a post as a ship's surgeon on an Arctic whaler. He socialized with the likes of Oscar Wilde and H.G. Wells, and he guiltily struggled with his love for another woman while his first wife slowly succumbed to tuberculosis. But for me, the greatest charm of this collection is not its drama, but rather its tranquility. Conan Doyle's letters give contemporary readers a sense of the slower pace of life in the latter half of the 19th century. Here's a snippet of a letter to his mother from 1871, written when the young Conan Doyle was in boarding school. He's describing a winter holiday. "We went out skating till 5 o'clock. We then went home and had dinner of pork and applesauce and potatoes, and then tarts and oranges till 5:30. We then went to the playroom and played games till 7. We had supper of bread and milk. We then again took our skates and went to the pond, and there we found it all illuminated with Chinese lanterns, and there was a band on the side of the pond playing Rule Britannia, and so we enjoyed ourselves till 11 o'clock, and then we all got a tumbler of punch, and then we took off our skates and went to bed." Conan Doyle clearly had a literary gift, even if he sometimes regarded his greatest creation as a curse. For those writers, artists, and other creative types on your holiday list who haven't yet met with any measure of Conan Doyle's success, I recommend the balm of Lewis Hyde's odd minor classic called The Gift. Just republished by Vintage Books in a 25th anniversary paperback edition, The Gift is a poetic defense of the value of creativity in our commodity culture. The very same commodity culture that's turned that first Sherlock Holmes story into a whoppingly overpriced artifact. Hyde invokes folktales, fairy tales, myth, and Bible stories to give weight to the artistic impulse. Occasionally, I'll confess, Hyde loses me with one too many ancient tales from, say, the Inuits or the Celts. But overall, The Gift powerfully speaks to the mystery of works of art that can transmit vitality and revive the soul. Such works, Hyde says, circulate among us as reservoirs of available life. Someone at the Feminist Press certainly had a gift, or I should say a genius, for repackaging. The result is a wonderful paperback series called 2x2, which pairs unexpected literary couples who've written short stories or poems on the same topics. The little volumes so far include Tilly Olson and Leo Tolstoy writing on death, Grace Paley, who we lost this year, and her husband Robert Nichols writing on old age and politics, and two couples whose works aren't as familiar to Western readers, the 20th century Chinese authors Ding Ling and Lu Xun writing on revolution, and African writers Bessie Head and Negua Tiango capturing the sometimes brutal transition from colonialism to independence. Any of these slim feminist press volumes would make excellent stocking stuffers, but if I had to select just one, it would be the African stories. Bessie Head was a revelation to me, and her tale, The Collector of Treasures, about an African woman jailed for murdering her husband, embodies Lewis Hyde's poetic pronouncement about the power of genuine art to transmit vitality. Just think. All these different voices, these stories, these lives, available to us in books as gifts for less than the price of a tank of gas.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. You can find her holiday book recommendations on our website, freshair.npr.org.